Mark takes the weekend, but Bonhom takes the season. Jack Roush is on the mend, and Fifi is finally flying again. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. I'm back in my home studio for the first time in more than 2 weeks, and it's nice to have the AC on. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 9th, 2010. Britain's Paul Bonhom won the 2010 Red Bull Air Race World Championship by taking second place behind Austria's Hannes Arc in the final race of the season at the Euro Speedway Lausitz in Germany on Sunday. Australia's Matt Hall got the third podium of his career, with third place in the 50th race in the sport's history, while Germany's Matthias Dolderer finished seventh to the delight of the big home crowd. A total of 118,000 spectators watched the final event of a season that was shortened by the cancellation of the last two scheduled events. Organizers announced a few days ago there will be no 2011 season while the series regroups. Measures to increase safety, time to work out details with host cities, and a need to take full advantage of the marketing potential of the series have all been mentioned as reasons. ANN has learned that 68-year-old racing pioneer and aviation aficionado Jack Roush is apparently healing well after a landing accident at AirVenture. Roush was reportedly trying to land when his aircraft stalled and crashed just off the runway after the close of the Daily Air Show July 27th. Media reports indicate that NASCAR Sprint Cup driver Carl Edwards paid a visit to Roush at the Mayo Clinic, where he's being treated for facial injuries, in Rochester, Minnesota last week, and commented afterward, quote, "Jack is really good. He's a lot better than I expected. He is Jack. We talked a lot about the race this weekend and what we're doing with our teams. He seems really good to me," unquote. Roush's female passenger suffered only minor injuries in the mishap. The Hawker Premier business jet, however, didn't fare so well. It's reportedly been released to a salvage firm and was photographed by an alert ANN reader being trucked away on two separate trailers. You can see those pictures at aero-news.net. The Commemorative Air Force finally got Fifi back in the air on Thursday. The world's only remaining airworthy B-29 Super Fortress went up for the first time in 4 years just before 9 a.m. for a 39-minute flight. CAF's restoration of the plane included new engines, and she was ready for flight more than 3 weeks ago. The first flight was held up by documentation delays, then by a disagreement with the FAA over the size of the needed flight test crew. On Saturday, Fifi was back in the air for more crew training as delighted visitors to the CAF Air Power Museum watched touch-and-goes at Midland International Airport in Texas. You can find more details at commemorativeairforce.org. Up next on ANN, PRA gets a promise from a noted historian. Rolls-Royce commits to the Young Eagles program. And Boeing will build Inmarsat's next generation. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by 4Flight, makers of 4Flight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about 4Flight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.4Flight.com. 4Flight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 9th. I'm Paul Plagg. The Popular Rotorcraft Association's convention wrapped up with an awards banquet Saturday night in Mentone, Indiana, and got a noteworthy commitment from Dr. Bruce Charnoff, a professor emeritus from Hofstra University who has richly documented the history of the autogyro dating back to the early development by Juan de la Sierva in the 1920s. Charnoff promised attendees that he will finish his formal history of the Popular Rotorcraft Association in time for the group's 50th annual convention in 2012. He'll present it there, and he indicated that just the bibliography is already at 400 pages. The PRA started as a Benson gyrocopter type club and dealers organization, but in the first of what Charnoff describes as three revolutions within PRA, broke free to become a body representing all models within a couple of years of its launch. PRA President Scott Lewis says the convention drew an estimated 70 gyroplanes and helicopters and more than 55 powered paragliders, which made the ideal complement to the rotorcraft, with their similar flight envelope and preference for dawn and dusk flights when the gyros usually are not flying. I'll have a closing day chat with PRA VP Tim O'Connor in today's Aero News special feature. Rolls-Royce says it plans to help young pilots achieve their dreams by pledging financial support for the 2010 EAA Young Eagles Scholarship Program. This year, flight training scholarships funded by Rolls-Royce will be awarded to 6 students who have completed the majority of EAA's online ground school class. Winners will attend an FAA-qualified flight school. One student will receive a voucher toward flight training completion to earn a private pilot's license. Ken Roberts, Rolls-Royce president for helicopters, commented, quote, "Rolls-Royce is excited to sponsor this worthy scholarship program. Young Eagles represents education, aviation, and passion for flight. We are proud of the students who receive these scholarships, and like them, we share a passion for aviation," unquote. Rolls-Royce has been a participant at EAA events for more than 20 years. Boeing has scored a deal with Inmarsat to build 3 Ka-band satellites to add to the customer's current fleet. Financial details were not disclosed. The fixed-price contract, with options, calls for 3 702HP commercial spacecraft with 89 Ka-band beams that will operate in geosynchronous orbit with flexible global coverage. The new satellite series is called Inmarsat 5. Craig Cooning, VP and GM of Boeing Space and Intelligence Systems, commented, quote, "This contract combines Boeing's unmatched commercial satellite heritage and Ka-band satellite communications experience to meet Inmarsat's satellite requirements. Boeing has produced more Ka-band satellite communication systems than any other manufacturer, and we are committed to a successful partnership with Inmarsat for this newest addition to their service fleet," unquote. The projected lifespan of the new satellites is 15 years. Still ahead, NASA will pay good money for data from amateurs. The NTSB wants a closer look at the Airbus A300 series. And here's a story we hope to hear more often. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 9th. I'm Paul Plack. In an announcement that could conceivably double the value of programs like the Google Lunar XPRIZE, NASA says it wants to purchase specific data resulting from industry efforts to test and verify vehicle capabilities through demonstrations of small robotic landers. The purpose is to inform the development of future human and robotic lander vehicles. The innovative Lunar Demonstrations Data Initiative will result in multiple small contracts with a total value of up to $30 million through 2012. Multiple awards are possible, with a minimum government purchase of $10,000 for each selected contractor. The deadline for submitting proposals is September 8th. Data provided to NASA should include information related to landing using a human mission profile, identifications of hazards during landing, precision landing, and imagery and long-duration surface operations. Get more detail using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated August 8th, at aero-news.net. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board wants European regulators to look more closely at the susceptibility of the Airbus A300 series to rudder damage in cases requiring large deflections at high airspeeds. This follows the 2001 crash of an A300 operated by American Airlines and an incident in January of 2008 involving an A319 operated by Air Canada. In the second incident, 2 crew members and 8 passengers sustained minor injuries after an encounter with a 747's wake turbulence resulted in a wild ride and the loss of 1,000 feet of altitude. The crew tried to handle the situation manually, and a rapid series of rudder deflections got the plane banked as far as 55 degrees and subjected passengers to 1.57 Gs. The NTSB says the rear vertical stabilizer attachment fitting sustained loads 29% above its design limit load. The board wants EASA to tighten standards to ensure safe handling qualities in the yaw axis throughout the flight envelope, including limits for rudder pedal sensitivity, and then evaluate the existing fleet to see if planes comply. Airbus says the A319 involved in the 2008 incident would have recovered with minimal loss of altitude and less G-loading had the pilots just let go and let the plane recover without the control inputs. And finally today, given the alarming disappearance of GA airports in recent years, it's nice to be able to report that Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky, last week opened a new 4,000-foot GA runway, oriented 927. Governor Steve Beshear noted the new runway's economic potential. Quote, "Improvements that enhance the safety and efficiency of air travel for business purposes are an important part of supporting our state's economic development efforts," unquote. The new runway replaces the old 826, which was 3,500 feet long. The new orientation also makes more efficient use of land and will help alleviate crowding of on-airport businesses. Total cost was $27 million, funded by the FAA, the state, and the airport itself. A total of $66 million in upgrades have been done in the last 2 years at Bluegrass. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, a look back on the Popular Rotorcraft Association's 48th Annual Convention with Vice President Tim O'Connor. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.